Okay, we're back. This is Stating the Obvious 293. If you have not listened to Stating the Obvious 292, then you need to go do so, because this is part two in the series. I'm going to jump right in. There's not going to be any kind of introduction. We just took a little break in the recording, did a little pee-pee run, ate a little bit of dead animal, took my vitamins, refilled the water bottle. Here we are. It's 65 degrees outside right now and sunny, and I really need to be trail running really, really fucking soon, because I hate being indoors on a day like this. And you can scream, shout, whine, cry, snivel, piss, moan, look for a safe space. Trigger warning! You can shove your opinion up your ass, and that way Obama's cock has something to keep it company. Trigger warning! Here's a trigger warning for you. Don't forget the ever-present, the most likely third possibility. You are wrong, and I am right, because I am always right. I've always been right. I will always be right. I am never wrong. I am the Great One himself, founder of the Cynical Libertarian Society on the internet since 1999, pissing off sensitive people, podcasting for 11 years, screaming out, fuck you, cunt, whenever I feel like it. And this is Stating the Obvious podcast. It is the weapons platform from which I launched the cruise missile of my intellect. The one that moves in on it destroys motherfucking statists all around the world. Every time some fucking statist says, but who's gonna build the roads? The fucking cruise missile of my intellect zaps right on in there, nukes the little motherfucker, and if anybody survives, we mow them down with the 50 caliber machine gun. Alright, let me get my feet propped back up, because I got a foot rest in here today. Randy, you awake? You slip into a coma? Alright, here's my earpiece, so I can hear what's going on. I actually don't even remember where the fuck we left off. It doesn't matter. And if you want to send us email, you want to tell me how much you hate me because I'm not afraid of you, the email address is God, that's dog spelled backwards, God at cynlibsoc.com. Okay. Nice big swig of water there. I think we're geared up. Alright, the intro music played out. God damn, look at that. Randy, there's almost no clouds in the sky. It is so beautiful outside. Not as beautiful as me, of course, but beautiful outside. All right, I've got to go running. All right, let's do this. And let's do this.
Progressivism is embraced and promoted primarily by women, educators, and urban male professionals who tend...
Yes. Yes, it is. By pajama boys. All right.
And to be not only physically weaker than other men, but who are also untrained and uninterested in self-defense.
Yep.
Rationally.
Again, you show me somebody who is a progressive or a social justice warrior, I will show you somebody who is opposed to guns, opposed to being able to defend themselves. They are parasites. Again, these are people who rely upon the government to protect them, right? These are the people who think, well, the police protect me from crime. You know, the government should protect me from rape. The government should protect me from discrimination. And as I've stated before, especially in words. And if you didn't know this, let me remind you that words are, of course, a social construct of the patriarchy designed to oppress women. So I'm having such a hard time with them because I'm such a social justice warrior. Like, I care so much about social justice. Like, oh, I care about the children. So I care so much. I care. Even with something like the police, right? These people, as I've explained before, the police... And this is something Jack Donovan might disagree with, because Jack Donovan, in his writing, talks about men taking protector roles, which makes total sense to me. Yes, we as men, we are the protectors of our families, of our women, I love saying things like our women, because the femistatists are like shitting and pissing on themselves right now. You talk, we're your property. Well, yeah, because especially because you expect us to take care of you. I mean, if you have the expectation that men are going to provide for you, which they do, and again, with all the welfare, the WIC, the Social Security, all that money you women are getting, especially you single mothers, the fucking lowest forms of life on earth, all that money you're getting is being taken away from men, primarily, who have jobs and create value. We men are providing for you, okay? We should be able to write you off on our income taxes. Of course, there shouldn't be any income taxes. And when you get your alimony payments, your child support payments, all of those things are being done by men. The men are giving you the money, and it's other men in the justice industrial complex who are making sure those men give you the money, and if they don't, putting them in jail. So anyway, with the whole, how do I even fucking tangent on this? The point of the police are not there to... So these people, they don't believe in self-defense. They're not capable of self-defense. When you show me a social justice warrior, I will show you somebody who has no concept of defending themselves or even providing for themselves. These people are complete parasites. These are the people who think they should get free college, free birth control, free healthcare, free abortions, they should get discounts, they should get other people protecting them, they think the police are there to protect them, all of this other shit. As I've said before, the police do not exist to protect you. The police exist, and this is what Jack Donovan may disagree with, if he ever hears this and cares. The police do not exist to protect people. And this is one of the things I disagree. Well, I don't really disagree. Again, I don't disagree with him. Okay, again, let me try to summarize this. Donovan says that men want to take protector roles. I already mentioned that. And yes, we do. We protect our societies. We protect our village. We protect our friends. We protect our property. We protect our pets. We protect our women. We protect our children. We protect our mothers. We protect our fathers. We protect things from outside invasions. That's what we do, naturally. The police, in my opinion, are not... Well, they are. Okay, the police do not protect citizens, women, victims. The police, as I have explained extensively before, and I'm not tangenting this, exist to protect the criminals. Because if there are no criminals, you don't need the police. And then, how would the police justify their existence? Again, if you care, you can go back in the old podcast. You can find where I've talked about this. I explain this very extensively in detail. Why, for example, the police do not protect women from being raped. The police protect rapists from the consequences of raping women so that there will be more rapes, so that there will be cries and demands, so that there will be fear, so people will be afraid. And if people are afraid of being raped, they will want more policemen, they will want more money for the police department, they will want more funding for social justice warrior projects like teaching men not to rape, right? And so there's no benefit at all for the police in preventing women from being raped. But there is a benefit to the police and the social justice warriors in more women being raped. And that's why, and this is... Again, I agree with the whole protector concept. The problem is, of course, that the police, a function of the state, corrupts the entire protector concept that Jack Donovan talks about and puts men in a position of not protecting women and children and innocents, but puts them in a position of protecting the criminals. All right, anyway, I'm tangenting, and shut the fuck up, dude. And what time is it? My God, it's 11 o'clock.
They should be more afraid than more capable men. But that's just you and me, thinking like men again.
Yeah, there we go, thinking like men. God damn it.
They don't see the world that way.
Fucking patriarchy, man.
These people have been protected all of their lives.
They are parasites. They have been protected.
They are the meek.
They
are. Who have inherited the earth, and like all spoiled brats.
Thanks to democracy.
They have no experiential understanding of what it took to create their world.
Exactly.
Or what is required to maintain it.
They have no idea what goes into maintaining a cell phone tower.
Like an heiress
tower.
Who doesn't care where the money comes from as long as she gets to keep spending it.
Right.
They have no practical understanding of violence or its role in maintaining their safety.
Exactly.
As I wrote in The Way of Men, the social role of men has been oriented around perimeter defense for the majority of human history and prehistory.
Yep.
Men are adapted for that role, and it is reasonable to say that more masculine men are going to be more interested in assessing threats and preparing to deal with them.
And you should always be assessing threats, because threats
will
always
exist. One of my best friends installed bulletproof windows in his house just because it seemed to him like the obvious thing to do.
Seems obvious to me.
He is naturally oriented to see himself as a guardian, to concern himself with protection and defense. Even when no immediate threats are present and there is nothing that really needs protecting, he isn't more afraid than anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, he's probably less afraid than
exactly.
most people. He isn't paranoid or obsessive about preparing for danger.
He's just
practical
fun
for
about
him.
It.
And he's drawn to it, like painters are drawn to painting, or musicians are drawn to playing music. He's good at it.
And parasites
and doing
are drawn
it makes
to
him
welfare.
Happy. People who have been protected all of their lives.
Parasites.
Who have no interest in self-defense.
Statist.
They don't see themselves in the guardian role.
No.
They have always lived inside the perimeter.
Right.
Like women, children, and the infirm.
And this doesn't mean that having women, children, and infirm, and being... not being, and having a need to protect them. This is not a bad thing. Again, the feminine, shut up. The problem arises when we have, again, they state a society like we have, where we, the providers, you know, you've heard me, the phrase I use all the time, the heterosexual white men who work for a living, those of us who create value for other people, are expected to protect the women, the children, the infirm, to not offend, to not say anything that makes the women, the children, and the infirm uncomfortable, when we're expected to provide them with money and resources via wealth redistribution, and when we get absolutely nothing out of it. I mean, nothing. I'm a heterosexual white man working for a living. I get nothing out of this deal. You pay taxes and you get to drive on the roads. Jesus fucking Christ. Everybody gets to drive on the fucking roads. And that's exactly the sort of thing you fucking statists are thinking right now. No, I get nothing. Well, you get defense. I'm not getting any fucking defense. There's not a goddamned aircraft carrier outside my window protecting me from... what? And I don't need defense, right? Again, the people, I'm not scared. There's no people over in the Middle East who want to come over here and kill me for my freedom. I'm not afraid of that, okay? And I'm not afraid of being beat up on the street because I live in a place where that doesn't happen, because you can go to a place where there's not a lot of crime. You can do that.
Where I live, there's a lot of crime.
Okay, then why don't you fucking go somewhere else, you goddamn fucking parasite? So, since you live in a place with a lot of crime, you expect me to pay taxes to provide you with protection from the crime because, number one, you're too fucking stupid to protect yourself, and number two, you're too fucking stupid to go somewhere else. I have no fear of crime. None. As in the military, the government of the United States Army, has trained me to kill other humans. Now, I'm not saying that I will... any fight I get into, I'm going to win. No, I'm not even fucking close. But I'm not afraid of having to defend myself. Might I lose? Might I end up dead or broken? Goddamn right I might. That's called being alive. You take a chance. Every fucking moment you're alive, I could drop dead right now. That'd make a lot of you happy. It'd be great. And remember, Randy, if I ever die while podcasting, be sure you publish the episode, because there will be people overjoyed at my death. I could die at any fucking moment, but I'm not terrified. I don't go to, oh, I'm so scared, I'm afraid, I need Obama to protect me, I'm afraid, oh, where's my pajamas?
For the protected, the role of protection is someone else's job.
Right, exactly.
They feel...
For the parasites, the role of providing education, I should get free education, I should get free healthcare, I should get free abortions, I should get free birth control, I should get, you know, fucking WIC payments for my children that I don't even know who their daddy is, I should get food stamps. All of this is somebody else's job. Why should I have to fucking lift a finger to protect or provide for myself? I'm a social justice warrior. I voted for Obama. I care about children, and I'm a white woman. I put my selfie on Instagram. Oh, I have a selfie. I wonder how many likes my selfie's gotten.
Feel secure because it is in their nature to trust that someone else will protect them from
taxpayers.
Harm.
Right. They know that the government's going to take things away from me and give
masculine
those things to them.
Masculine men see themselves in the guardian role.
Yep.
They see violence as their responsibility.
Yep.
While the protected see violence as someone else's responsibility.
And that's why they are the inferior.
Threats are as abstract to them as electrical power is to me. My dad was an electrician, but I have no idea how that shit really works. And I don't care as long as the lights go on when I turn the switch. I'm not afraid of the lights going out. I never think about it. It is someone else's job.
Yep.
I don't think protected progressives are afraid of violence all the time.
No, they love violence.
And I don't think they realize how vulnerable
when it's used in their favor
to the rest of us. They are the pinkest, plushiest, softest of targets.
And as I said, when the government, when the federal government of the United States, when the United States empire collapses to whatever extent it does collapse, those are the people who are going to experience for the first time in their life actual natural selection. When there are no more food stamps and these people have no way of creating value for other humans in order to get money or to barter for food or whatever it takes to get food, these are the people who are going to starve to death and die.
But they don't think about threats because they don't think it is their job to deal with threats.
Right, Obama's going to give them free stuff.
Until the lights go out. When the lights go out, they'll realize how vulnerable and helpless they've been their whole lives.
And it'll be too late.
They'll see what we saw the whole time.
And natural selection will drop by for a visit.
This may be why they seem to be so profoundly traumatized by violence when it happens, and so easily triggered.
Trigger warning.
By references to violence afterwards.
Right, because they're
if
psychologically
you're expecting violence
broken.
And someone gets the best of you, you're going to be angry about it.
Yep.
But you have a way to process it. It makes sense.
Yeah.
If you've always assumed that violence happens to other people, and then it happens to you.
Right.
It's going to turn your whole world upside down.
You have no frame of reference for it.
Masculine men are, by their very nature, afraid of being afraid. Or perhaps more accurately, men are naturally afraid of being seen as being afraid. Looking scared means losing the circling stare down that precedes violence.
Right.
Vulnerability invites violence.
Exactly.
Being it makes able, it look easy.
Being able to defend yourself and provide for yourself is what prevents violence. Okay, laws do not prevent violence. If laws prevented violence, no one would get killed or raped because raping and killing is illegal. Right? Police do not prevent violence. If the police could prevent violence, there's a lot of police. They got a lot of guns and tanks and armored cars and helicopters and sniper rifles and SWAT teams. If the police could prevent violence, there'd be no fucking violence. What prevents violence is being prepared for the computer to fall asleep while I'm recording, being prepared to deal with violence, being prepared to respond to violence, and telegraphing to people around you that you are competent and capable of taking care of yourself in a violent situation should such a situation arise. This coupled with the fact that, and this goes way tangenting, and I'm going to do a podcast about this because I know it's contradictory to other things, just shut up and bear with me for right now. This coupled with the fact that most people, when you remove the incentive of having the state do violence to other people for them, most people, the vast majority of humans, are good people. They're social. We are social animals. We like other people. Most people default to doing good things, to doing the right thing, to looking out for each other, to helping each other. Right? Thus, there are a lot of people out there who, yes, naturally default to harming other humans. And those are the people we elect as politicians, and we give them power over the military. Again, if the state was not circumventing natural selection and allowing the truly naturally brain damaged, because that's what they are, evil sociopath type people to flourish, those people would all be dead. Again, if the state did not keep rapists alive and protect them from the consequences of raping, they would all be dead. Right? Somebody would rape my mother, and I would just shoot the son of a bitch. Natural selection. Somebody would rape one of my friends. I would just shoot the son of a bitch. Natural selection. But the state comes along and says, oh no, we have to give him a trial, and we give 3 meals a day. We're going to keep him alive, and if we get him off on a technicality, he can go rape some more women, and we'll put him in prison, but then he'll have sex with a woman guard at the prison and get her pregnant, and he'll reproduce. The state circumvents natural selection. Said that before. Anyway, I'm tangenting. I feel it. I can feel the tangenting happening.
This is a rational fear. It can collapse into irrational paranoia, sure. But unless you are trying to blend into a crowd, why wouldn't you want to look like a hard target in a flock of fleeced pajama boys?
Fleeced pajama boys?
Men in groups don't want to look vulnerable for the same tactical reasons. Men don't want to be associated with vulnerable-looking, fearful men in a group context because signaling weakness or cowardliness makes the whole group look vulnerable.
Yep.
Democracy. Appearing to be afraid lowers your value to the group.
And to women.
On the other hand, demonstrating courage makes you a more valuable member of the group.
Exactly. It makes you competent, respected.
Men don't want to be seen as being afraid.
Right.
Because their value as men, their identity, their honor, is closely tied to having a reputation for being willing and able to process and overcome fear.
Yes.
Modern civilization lacks sufficient opportunities for men to prove their courage to other men. Because modern civilization has eliminated many risks. And
right.
By design, the majority of men must live within the protected perimeter.
And also because modern civilization, again, thank you democracy, modern civilization always has to cater to the needs of the most inferior people in the society. Again, it's just like public school. You put 30 kids in a classroom, the teacher has to teach at the speed, the rate, the ability of understanding of the dumbest kid in the room. So everybody else suffers. Or if she doesn't give a fuck about the dumbest kid in the room, let's say she teaches to the middle kid in the room, well then the kids above the middle kid are still bored and the kids under the middle kid get left behind. No child left behind, right? I mean, there's a law that says no child is left behind. Well, oh my God, but there's a law. Yeah, because writing words on a piece of paper, that changes reality, right? That's what you statists think. And Donovan's right about this. We live in a society, and I've talked about this extensively. I've said this over and over and over and over. everything in our society, and say with me, no white woman must ever experience discomfort. And so anytime our entire society has to be geared towards what happens when just one white woman, anything that offends, something could happen. And out of every white woman in the United States, if one of them, just one of them, is put in a position of being uncomfortable over that, the entire fucking country has to change in order to make her not uncomfortable anymore.
The efficiency of modernity means there aren't as many guardian jobs as there are guardians. Men have also lost opportunities to prove themselves within tightly bonded groups of men.
Oh, here we go.
Because young men are forcibly integrated with women in nearly every aspect of modern life.
Oh, yes. God forbid a man do anything without women.
They are integrated with women at school.
Yep.
At work.
Mm-hmm.
And in almost every gym or school of martial arts.
Oh, yeah. But now, if you want to have a gymnasium that's all women, totally okay. And, you know, this brings up the whole Roosh was doing the meetup thing where just some guys are going to get together and have a beer. And, oh, he's a rapist. So anyhow, long story tangenting less, there's a group around here I'm aware of that does the same thing. It's just a bunch of guys, and they get together every week, and they drink some beers, and they talk to each other. And one of the guys is like, wow, with this Roosh thing, should we be afraid? Should we be, because we're a bunch of men, and we get together, and should we be afraid? There it is, the fear, right? This is the fucking, you're not a man, you're a pussy factor, right? Should we be afraid after the Roosh thing that somebody's going to accuse us of being rapist because we get together in a men's only group? And it's just like, dude, why don't you go change your fucking tampon? And this is exactly what Donovan is talking about. Here is a man afraid. He's afraid of going to a fucking bar with seven other guys and drinking some beers and talking to each other because somebody might think he's a rapist. Dude, put on your fucking pajamas and change your goddamn tampon.
As a result of this integration, bonds among men tend to be weak. And a few young men have had sufficient opportunity to build a secure masculine identity.
And of course,
a firm sense of who they are.
And of course, the femistatists are terrified of masculine men who have any sense of identity. Again, look at the ridicule that has been heaped on the people in the manosphere who advocate self-improvement. I've talked about this before. The femistatists are like, oh, look at these stupid men. They're talking about trying to improve themselves. Oh, they're so selfish. They're so stupid. They're so immature. I mean, this is the attitude of the social justice warrior, is that improving yourself makes you a bad person, an evil person, a selfish person. This is the extent to which the social justice warrior is a fucking parasite, to the point that even improving yourself is anathema to them. That is how fucking parasitical they are. Why should I lose weight? I can take my fucking Obamacare and go to the doctor, and the doctor can fix me. Why should I learn self-defense? Why should I learn how to fire a sidearm? The police will come and provide for me. You know, why should I learn some skills that will allow me to create value for other people, more value than I create now, so I can make more money so that I could buy more food? No, I can just sit here and wait for food stamps to show up. I mean, this is how fucking disgusting and pathetic and parasitical the social justice warrior is, that they ridicule people for seeking to improve themselves. And this is why, when natural selection comes to visit these people, they're going to shit themselves and die.
As men within groups of men. As feminists have shrewdly pointed out, many modern men have a particularly fragile sense of their own value as men.
Yep.
They have little experience overcoming fear.
Yep.
No reputation for demonstrating courage.
Yep.
And no sense of belonging within a group of other men.
Yep.
These men are aware of this either consciously or subconsciously, and it makes them anxious. This anxiousness about their own manhood makes them easy to manipulate with made-up phobias and groundless goads like, "You're just afraid of a strong woman."
Exactly. The more wussy you are, the less confidence you have, the less competence you have, the more easy it is for you to be manipulated. And this is exactly why the femistatist, and the same thing with the state, this is why the state works so hard not to get people off welfare, but to get people on welfare. This is why the state wants more people on food stamps. The state wants more people dependent on it, because the more dependent you become on somebody else, be it the state, be it another person, the less confidence you have in your own abilities. The less confidence you have in your own abilities, the easier you are to manipulate.
Progressivism is presented as a revolutionary movement. Its propaganda encourages people to believe that they are standing up to some kind of powerful evil.
Oh yeah, the patriarchy.
Or speaking truth to power.
Truth to power. Oh God.
This can only truly be done without violence, and with the relative impunity that progressive rebels enjoy. Because their aims are either complementary or unthreatening to the aims of those who are actually in power.
Exactly. None of the corporations, the military, the government, the NSA, none of these people are scared of social... None of these people are concerned that these social just... Shouldn't say scared. That's the wrong word. The NSA and the military and Obama and the corporations are not concerned that the social justice warriors are going to harm them. Well, anyway, shut up and let Donovan talk, because he's getting to this point.
When power comes at you with beanbags and tear gas and rubber bullets, you are not a serious threat. When power sees you as a threat, it comes after you with SWAT teams and Apache helicopters. Progressivism employs the language of violent revolution. But this is pure melodrama.
Yep.
At this point.
Because none of them are capable
progressive
of violence.
Progressive views are establishment and conservative. For instance, if it ever was, it is no longer revolutionary to be against racism.
Oh, yes.
There has been a systematic campaign in education, in the media, in government, and in the military to tell everyone in the Western world that racism is wrong.
Racism is bad, okay?
You grew up in a society that was forcibly integrated.
Yep.
Against the will of many of your ancestors.
Yep.
Probably before you were even born.
Yep.
You've been exposed to positive media images of people of other races.
Yep.
And protected from negative ideas about other people.
Yep. Okay. So let's start getting off on some tangenting here. So speaking of positive media images, this is just a moment for me to remind you, if I can figure out how to work the computer, that if you go to Google and type in happy American couple and go to the image search. So I did it today. I took a screenshot. I'm going to post it. Okay, here we go. Again, propagandizing that racism is bad. Okay. Happy American couple. First picture, black people. Second, black people. Third, black people. Black people. Black people. Here we finally, we actually have a white guy in the first lineup this time. And then black people, and sort of white-ish people. we're doing better today. And then brown people have finally showed up in the Google image search. The first time I did this, if you heard the podcast, white people didn't show up until way down the page. It was all black people, and the whole thing, there was not a single brown person. So brown people, according to Google image search, you can now be a happy American couple. Finally, you've showed up on Google. All right, and back to the propaganda. Black people, white people, black people, brown people, brown people, white people. Hey, look, white people, oh, Asian chick and a white guy, some white people, black people. Now, this is my favorite. I'm so glad I got a screenshot of this. Happy American couple, Google image search, has a picture of a woman with an ape. This is not me calling a black person an ape because I'm racist. It's an ape. Maybe it's a person in a suit. If that's a suit, oh, that's a small picture also. Let me click on the picture to enlarge it. Oh my God. Oh, okay, interesting. Who is it? Anyway, no, it's not a really good costume. That's a legitimate ape. So anyhow, yeah, there's a lot of propaganda thrown at you about race.
And taught by every institution that racism and stereotyping of any kind is morally wrong.
But wait, race doesn't exist. It's a social construct.
If you believe that racism is wrong today, to borrow the words of Barack Obama, you didn't get there on your own. You didn't build that.
You didn't build that.
You did not reason your way out of racism.
And you didn't. None of you did.
You are not enlightened or sophisticated or evolved.
Right. You're not.
You believe exactly what you've been told to believe.
Thank you, Mr. Donovan. You have
go ahead and pat yourself on the back.
Yes, and this is the thing. When you come to me with what you believe and what you think, and he's absolute. I've talked about this. None of you people have ever sat down and philosophically reasoned your way to saying racism is wrong. Now, I'm not saying racism is right. I'm not saying racism is wrong. I don't give up. Because, again, this is what's important for you to understand that you cannot understand as a statist. Let's say that I think racism is good. Well, it really doesn't fucking matter what I think because reality doesn't give a fuck what I think. Let's say I think racism is bad. It still doesn't matter what I think because reality doesn't give a fuck what I think. Right? If I think the sun is shaped like a triangle, the sun does not give a fuck what I think. The sun is still spherical. It doesn't fucking matter what I think. Okay? So it doesn't matter what I think. What you have not done is you have not sat down at some point and started with do I exist or not, and then philosophically reasoned your way through all these things and somehow arrived at the conclusion racism is wrong. You believe racism is wrong for the same reason that you believe recycling saves energy and that you believe global warming is real. It's because other people said so. Other people have told you to believe these things. And this is what I constantly encounter with the when the status says, well, the government, who would build the roads? Well, I mean, how did you arrive at the notion that only government can build roads? Can you explain to me the logical progression of thought by which you arrived at the conclusion that only the government, which, like a corporation, does not really exist, right? There is no such thing as the government. There are people who are part of an organization that all of us collectively look at and say that is the government, right? But there is no government. Government does not do things. Government is not an intelligent, self-aware entity that is able to manipulate matter. So explain to me the process, how you arrived at the conclusion that only the government can create a place on the ground that is flat. Explain to me the process you used to reach that conclusion. And they will just look at you like you're a fucking moron, because from the perspective of a statist, you are a moron. The statist was told by the government that only the government can build roads, and therefore it must be true. That is the only evidence they need. They were told this. And this is exactly as the social justice warriors. What evidence do you have that there is a patriarchy which is paying women 78 cents for every dollar a man makes? Well, somebody said so. I saw Anita Sarkeesian said so. Even though the whole wage gap thing has been fucking demolished over and over, everybody from Shoe on Head to Stefan Molyneux to Maddox to Reason Magazine, the Cato Institute, even the motherfucking federal government itself has put out information that illustrates that no, women do not make 78 cents for every dollar a man makes. Why do you believe it? Well, because, as I've been saying for years on this fucking podcast, believing is easier than thinking. The social justice warrior, the statist, cannot explain in a logical, rational manner how they have arrived at their conclusions. This is one of the differences between the inferior people and the superior people. Yes, I'm one of the superior people. If you need the state to provide for you, you're one of the inferior people. And you say, oh, great one. What about you? Yeah, I can. It's called this fucking podcast. You want to hear my fucking reasoning? You want to hear my logical path for why anarcho-capitalism, why a statist society is preferable and better? I have 11 fucking years of podcast. When I started this podcast, I was a right-wing minarchist. And over these 11 years, I have transitioned from right-wing minarchist to anarcho-capitalist. You want my line of reasoning? It's right here. It's on the fucking internet. It's in MP3 format. 11 fucking years where you can hear me discussing things, talking about things, throwing out my opinions, coming on and telling you when I was wrong about something, which is why I am always right. Because when I recognize I'm wrong about something, global warming, I used to believe in global warming, and then I fucking figured out there's no such thing. This is why I am always right. Because when I am wrong about something, instead of having some fucking emotional response and screaming about the patriarchy and needing to change my tampon, when I find actual, substantial, empirical, verifiable evidence that I'm wrong about something, I alter my view of reality so that it fucking matches reality instead of expecting reality to fucking conform to what I want and going around crying for a goddamn safe space. That was some tangenting, I think. I'm not even sure how in the fuck I got there from here, but what else is new?
Throughout the Western world, there are major social and financial risks associated with being racist.
Oh yeah, I know how I got there. Right, because you're not against racism because you figured out that racism is wrong. You're against racism because you've been told to be against racism. And you may think those are the same thing, but they're not. Because the thing is, when the same entities that told you it's wrong to be racist show up and tell you, well, it's okay to be racist against this group of people, you know, for example, heterosexual white men who work for a living, you're just going to fall right in line and do what you're told. As I've said before, it's people just like, it's statists, it's social justice warriors, it's people who believe that what they are told is true without questioning it. You're the people who put the Jews in the concentration camps. The government said the Jews are evil. And everyone, oh, the Jews are evil. We need to put them in camps. Oh, we should put them in camps. Nobody sat around and intellectualized and did any kind of logical, philosophical progression. Well, let's see, are the Jews really the cause of all of our problems? No, it's just, oh, the government said the reason the economy is going to shit is because of the Jews. Well, fuck, let's go out and throw some rocks through the window of a Jew. Those people who threw rocks at the Jews, those are the exact same people that right now in the United States of America today, we call them social justice warriors. You're the same fucking people.
Or being perceived as racist or being associated with racists. In mainstream social circles, you'll be ostracized. If you're a celebrity, your career will be over. If you apologize, no one will believe you. Mainstream politicians,
oh, yes,
call each other racists and compete to outdo each other.
And here we go.
Preaching diversity and token pimping. If you're
token
an employee.
Pimping. I love it. All right, let me stop this. While you talk about token, that's great. Okay, so politicians, racism. And wake up, computer. I mentioned this. Here we go. Okay. 28th of February, 2016. This is from, what's his face, his blog. Scott Adams, the guy who writes Dilbert. This is what Scott Adams writes. I disavow Trump because of this and a few other things. His skills are still impressive. Update. Just to be clear, what I'm doing here is getting out of the splatter zone. I am aware that Trump has disavowed David Duke and the KKK in the past, and I am certain he will do more of it, but any ambiguity on this topic is his problem, not mine. I'll let him sort it out. I don't know who would do the best job as president. That's a separate question. The leaders in the polls all seem to have deep flaws. Okay, so first of all, let's analyze what Scott Adams is writing here. I disavow Trump. Who gives a fuck? First of all, and I probably should have done this before, but I'm doing it now, so fuck you. Yeah, just hang in there. Okay, here we go. Disavow, deny any responsibility or support for. Okay, so, because I understand you need a safe space, and so I put a trigger warning on this. Patriarchy is about to happen. I understand that words were created by the patriarchy to oppress women and minorities. I get that. But words have meanings, and that's part of how they oppress women, right? For example, if a woman goes in to get a raise and she uses words, well, then the words she's using as a tool created by the patriarchy for her oppression automatically set things up so that she can only make 78 cents for every dollar a man makes. Disavow means to deny any responsibility or support for. So, Scott Adams is denying any responsibility or support for Trump. Now, first of all, I'm pretty sure Scott Adams is not responsible for Trump, so who gives a fuck? And second of all, he's saying he doesn't support Trump anymore. Again, who gives a fuck? Trump is still a millionaire. Trump is still going to do what he's going to do. Trump is still running for... It does not fucking matter that you, Scott Adams, have disavowed Trump. Just to be clear, what I'm doing here is getting out of the splatter zone. I am aware that Trump has disavowed David Duke and the KKK in the past, so Trump has said he is not responsible for David Duke or the KKK, which he's not. David Duke, unless David Duke is Donald Trump's love child, he's not responsible for David Duke, and the KKK existed before Donald Trump existed, so he's not responsible for them. And so in the sense of supporting, okay, so Trump says he doesn't support Duke or the KKK, great. But see, Scott Adams is still, he's doing what? He is getting out of the splatter zone. Let's translate that into English. He's afraid. Ooh, wait. Has the concept of fear come up at any point so far in the last two podcasts? Oh, wait a minute. Yes. You see, Scott Adams is afraid. He's so afraid that if he says he might vote for Trump, or if he says anything nice about Trump, and if Trump doesn't kiss enough ass to avoid being called a racist, then he, Scott Adams, might be called a racist for avowing, I guess that's the opposite of disavowing, Trump. It's fear. You see it right here. You can smell it oozing from this blog post. The fear that Scott Adams has. It's just fear. All they have is fear. All right. So now, what is this? What is this big fucking deal? What is this BFD that we're all fucking terrified of? Randy, how am I? No fucking way. Jeez, thanks, buddy. All right, I'm running out of time. What is the fucking the big deal? It says here, the link that I followed from the thing goes to CNN, which we know is, of course, never mind. Unbiased news reporting, never mind. Tangenting. The Sunday uproar started when Trump was asked by Tapper whether he would disavow Duke and other white supremacist groups that are supporting his campaign. Just so you understand, I don't know anything about David Duke, okay? Donald Trump said. Randy, where are we on time again? All right, hold the music because I'm going to have to go over a little bit. Deal with it. Thanks. Just so you understand, I don't know anything about David Duke, okay? Trump said. Trump was pressed three times on whether he distanced himself from the Ku Klux Klan, but never mentioned the group in his answers. Quote, I don't know anything about what you're even talking about with white supremacy or white supremacists, he said. Quote, so I don't know. I don't know. Did he endorse me or what's going on? Because I know nothing about David Duke. I know nothing about white supremacists. Unquote. So, first of all, they want Donald Trump to disavow himself, to distance himself from the KKK. Are they asking the other political candidates to distance themselves from the KKK? Well, no, of course not. And then it's like, so what if what's this David Duke? If David Duke and if the KKK as an organization are coming out and saying we're going to vote for Trump, why is that Donald Trump's problem? Donald Trump, again, this shows you the concept, how the fucked up the statist mind is and how terrified they are. Donald Trump cannot control other people. It's like me, if the Ku Klux Klan came out and said, we support the Great One himself, we think his podcast is great, we think he's fantastic, we agree with everything he says. I'm not going to disavow that. I can't control other people. If somebody else wants to say they like my pot, if somebody else wants to say they're going to vote for Donald Trump, if somebody else wants to say they drink Pepsi, that's other people. The mindset of the statist to control other people is so deep. The mindset and the need of the social justice warrior is so centered on controlling other people that the concept that other people are beyond your control is completely beyond their understanding. And again, we see whenever a politician has reached the point that nobody has anything they can say intelligent about him, we always get around to, well, KKK, David Duke, racist. This is the last resort. This is telling you that none of these people, as I said in the previous podcast, I could come up with hundreds of reasons why Donald Trump shouldn't be president of the United States that I can support with actual empirical evidence. Hundreds of them. This is all they have, is to say, Donald Trump will not disavow the KKK. He must be a racist. Has Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders and Ted Cruz and Mitt Romney and Hussein Obama and George, have they disavowed the KKK? This is what happens when fear intersects with desperation. Now, finally, maybe finally, how are we doing on time? Thank you. We are officially over. Deal with it. Over on time, that is. All right. Oh, the internet. It's so wonderful. Most of it's kind of bullshitty and annoying and slow, but it's so wonderful. All right. So, Donald Trump, Republican, Ku Klux Klan. Obviously, he's a member of the Ku Klux Klan because he won't disavow them. He's racist, sexist, homophobic, yada, yada, yada. And, of course, this is why Donald Trump's making the progress he's making, because he's the only person up there who is not motivated entirely by fear. Any other candidate, if asked about the Ku Klux Klan, you know, would fucking wet themselves. Oh, I disavow, I disavow, I disavow. You know, just like Trump with Megyn Kelly. You know, anybody else would just back down because they'd be so terrified of making Megyn Kelly, a white woman from North America, uncomfortable. And Donald Trump has just essentially said to her, go fuck yourself, honey. This is why Donald Trump has the support he has, I believe. Not because his policies make any sense or he's going to be a good president or any of the bullshit. the reason people like Donald Trump, the reason I would love to see Donald Trump be president, even though I know that he's not going to fix anything and it'd just be a fucking disaster, but it doesn't matter who the president is because it's going to be a fucking disaster regardless. I want to see Donald Trump elected for no reason other than he is not cowering in fear from every fucking white woman he encounters. All right, the Ku Klux Klan. Politicians, here we go. There will be a link to this in the show notes. Wikipedia, Ku Klux Klan members in United States politics. Active members in the Ku Klux Klan in United States politics. Edward Jackson, Republican, governor of Indiana. Robert Burr, oh wait, I need a piece of paper. I need a writing device. I need hand-eye coordination. Republicans, Democrats. Republican. Robert Byrd, Democrat, United States Senator. He was a recruiter for the Klan. Democrat. Hugo Black, Associate Justice of the Supreme Court. Democrat. Whoops. Ah, shit. Did I just fucking do that? I'm fucking up the computer. Randy's giving me dirty looks. It's cool. We're used to it. I'm not. Randy, did I fuck that up? All right, good. Always good to have technical issues. All right. Theodore G. Biblow, Democrat, United States Senator from Mississippi. Okay. Rice W. Means, Republican from Colorado. We're tolerant and diverse here in Colorado. Clarence Morley, Republican, Governor of Colorado. Okay, so far, 3-3. Bibb Graves, Democrat, Governor of Alabama. Clifford Walker, Democrat, Governor of Georgia. George Gordon, Democrat, Congressman, Tennessee. John Clinton Porter, Independent, member of the Klan, mayor of Los Angeles. Oh, Los Angeles, so much tolerance and diversity out there in the Oscars. David Duke, politician, ran both as a Democrat and a Republican. Benjamin Stapleton, Democrat, mayor of, Denver. Another score for Colorado. We love us some fucking political correctness here in Colorado. And there it is. Total number of Republican Klan members, 4. Total number of Democrat Klan members, 8. So when you want to talk about your politicians and the Ku Klux Klan, let us remember the Democrats were the party that was opposed to black people not being slaves. The Democrat Party was formed by the same people who formed the Ku Klux Klan. But none of that matters. All that matters is people who don't like Donald Trump, and there's plenty of reasons. There's thousands of reasons to not like Donald Trump. But all they've got is the race card because they're so used to everyone being afraid of the race card. Right? If somebody won't do what you want them to do, you call them a rapist, you call them a misogynist, or you call them a racist. And you get them to do what you want them to do by making them afraid of being called these words. And Donald Trump is so far just not being afraid of these things. And this is terrifying the fuck out of the social justice warriors. Randy, play the music. Fuck this. I'm going trail running. We'll come back this afternoon and record part 3, because of course there's a part 3, because God forbid I fucking not tangent forever. All right. See ya.